Up top, however, is Steve Brown, the president of Commemorative Air Force, the Commemorative Air Force. How you doing, Mr. President?
Good, Bob. I don't think I can compete with two compelling interviews like that. But
I like to have a challenge.
We'll do our best. That's right.
Shoot for the stars, I say.
Absolutely.
I followed your blog and website this week. I had all the pictures of everything you were up to. You had a busy week.
Well, you know, everyone here has a busy week, as you do. You know, there's so much going on, and certainly this year and the past several years have really been outstanding years for the CAF here at AirVenture. And, we're well represented. I think we're bringing an added dimension to the show. I like to think so, and I think Rod and the other members of EAA think so. And so it's great for us to be here to bring Fifi, now the second year in a row and the first year she's done any ride flights. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Tora, 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 which we think, obviously, somewhat biasedly, that it's the best aviation act on the air show circuit. Yeah. And I think it added a real dimension to the AirVenture air show.
Yeah. I did not know until we were chatting just ahead of time that the name AirVenture was your idea.
Well, it was a group of people's idea. I got to be involved with a group of people that brought AirVenture here and executed. I did a lot of the execution side. What used to be the arches that were out front and the arches around the side. Those are things we did. We had a great marketing team, and I had guidance from a continued board member of Warbirds, John T. Baugh. Mm-hmm. He was kind of my mentor guide here. But, yeah, when I was brought here back in 98 to help bring the show, I'm a consumer marketing is my background, and helped to bring the show a little bit farther forward, a more pleasant experience for the attendees, a more marketing presence I was involved in bringing with Ford here, and I was involved with the Countdown to Kitty Hawk celebration in 2003. So I loved being a part of EAA. I'm still continuing to be a member and enjoy getting to work with Rod and the leadership here now.
Yeah. When you're when you're a big shot of an organization that's intimately involved in putting this together, whether it's EAA or CAF or something, and you've got a show going on, can you still enjoy it like the first time you ever saw this joint, or are you always thinking, that's got to be done this way, this has got to be done this way?
And you do. I was surprised. When I worked here, I always looked forward to AirVenture. I thought it was the best part of my job was being here, and because you get to see the fruits of your efforts. Here in the CAF role, certainly I think about all the different things we got going on, but my role here when I come is to be a facilitator with the connections I have in the industry, the connections I have here at EA, is to help things go smoother for our airplanes, to help bring things, unique items to different people like Connie Bolin out in Warbirds when we have Dutch Van Kirk and Dick Cole flying on our airplane and the DAV's Panchito. So it's those kind of things that really make it worthwhile. So I absolutely enjoy it. I really love coming here. It's coming here, Sun and Fun, Wings Over Houston. These are the best part of my year, frankly. Yeah.
You tackled a topic as the head of that organization that I think you talked about, well, I know you talked about it at the media briefing, I think, the other day. And it's a topic where a lot of organizations don't want to go. The perception of an organization as a non-diversified membership and bringing in change. Because, aviators are always happy. people and things go smoothly, but the quote that I saw you that you had, if it's correct, says historically the CAF and perhaps even general aviation as a whole has been viewed as a good old boys flying club. We hope to change that by generating interest in young professionals from a variety of backgrounds.
Absolutely,
jump in.
Well, absolutely. Look, I'm a believer in transparency. I'm a believer of speaking the truth, and there's no reason to shy away from it. Look, old, male, and white has typically been the past of general aviation. But that's not the representation of our country. And mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people work to change it. And when you come from an organization, just to speak about my own, if you come from an organization named Confederate Air Force, that brings some connotations to it. Now, the name was generated in jest and in fun because the Air Force was tearing up all the airplanes, turning into beer cans.
Yeah.
Some guy painted Confederate Air Force with red paint on one of our airplanes, and that just came the joke. Well, if the Air Force is going to tear up their planes, will we come the Confederate Air Force and save the plane? So it was all done in jest. Semper Mint Julep was our tagline for the first 10 years of our organization. So you can see where we came from.
Yeah.
But when the connotation of the name changed as time went on, it became more of a distraction. And so, as I said in the press conference, I'm very proud that the former Confederate Air Force is now leading the charge of diversity by using the Tuskegee Airmen and the son of a Tuskegee Airman, who's our pilot and squadron leader, to take the lessons and the challenges that came out of that our past and use it to educate young people. And the theme we use when you see the movie at the Red Tail Rise Above traveling exhibit is Rise Above. If the men from the Tuskegee generation could rise above, you know, the challenges that they had with segregation and discrimination, well, then young people today can certainly rise above the challenges that they have. Yeah. And so, whereas certainly the CAF was known as you know, the Confederate Air Force, older men of the World War II generation, as that generation passes on and as we want to stay viable as an organization, as general aviation wants to stay viable, we've got to reach out beyond the typical borders we've got to get younger people, we've got to get people from different backgrounds, we've got to get women involved, and that's what we're making a real focus. I sat down with Brad Lang, African American, son of a Tuskegee Airman, leader of the Red Tail Squadron, as I mentioned, when I got here 5 years ago, and I said, Brad, how do we get a more diverse group of people involved in the CAF? He goes, you got to put people like me on the ads. So if you see our ads now, you see Brad Lang on the ads. Yeah, yeah. You're going to see the women in our organization. We've got two women that are both now co-pilots for a four-engine bomber with the B-24, working on the B-29. We've got Beth Jenkins, who's out here as the pilot in command of the Devil Dog all week long. We've got another gal flying an SNJ. So we're really working hard, and we've got non-pilot women and diverse background men that are in key roles, whether it's a unit leadership or photographers or wherever. So we're becoming a more diverse organization.
How big is your fleet now? How do you keep track of it?
Well, it's 157 airplanes.
Yeah.
And those airplanes are stationed out in 70 locations, excuse me, in 28 different states in 70 units, 70 locations. Mm-hmm. And each unit may have one airplane or it may have 12 airplanes, just depends. And they're charged with the care and feeding of those airplanes, and through volunteers. There are some paid staff out there, but very, very small amount. Yeah. And those volunteers raise the money, hold fundraisers, campaign the airplanes to different air shows with appearance fees. Tora, 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 you saw. When the top acts around, they perform upwards of 20 to 30 air shows a year. These are all volunteer pilots. And they are charging air show fees, and they are funding their operations and the upkeep of their airplanes. And we do air shows. We produce Wings Over Houston. That's a CAF-produced air show. Mm-hmm. And the funds that come out of that go right back into our airplanes.
Rumor has it, with aviation organizations, change is pretty controversial. Has it been for you guys?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, the first 2.5 years of my tenure there was fraught with...
You ever want to say, you know what, then forget it. You know,
you know, I cut my teeth here at EAA, and... you know, EAA membership and membership of all organizations, whether it's a church or any, if you're going to be involved in the nonprofit industry, you got to have pretty thick skin.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You can't take things people say to you personally, even though they sound awfully personal in nature. And sometimes people come after you personally.
Yeah.
But you have to stay focused on the goal. And fortunately, I cut my teeth here at EAA. And after 5 years here, I was prepared to take on a challenge like the CF. But I love the people. I mean, I travel and see our units. I've been to 49 of the 70 units, and I love talking to our membership and visiting with them because you learn a lot, and then they feel like they're being heard.
You got to pin some wings on your kid the other earlier this year, right?
Well, I did, as a matter of fact. That's funny you knew that. Yes,
cool.
My son, actually just about a month and a half ago, got done with airborne school there at Fort Benning, Georgia. He just completed his plebe year at West Point at the United States Military Academy. He just got back yesterday from 4 weeks of military training at Camp Buckner and got a Recondo badge and was happy to get out of, as it were, quote-unquote prison for a couple weeks anyway.
Good job, Dad.
Yeah, well, he's the fourth-generation military officer. We'll be the fourth-generation military officer in my family.
Appreciate you coming in.
Hey, well, thanks for having me.
Great talking with you. We've been talking with Steve Brown, president of the Commemorative Air Force.